So this world is not our home, is it? This is not our standing place. This is not where we get our rewards. This is not where we get our thrills. We're just passing by. We're just walking through this valley. One day, we will be in the presence of the Lord.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, March 23rd, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Deeply Loved, Truly His, Eternally Known. And our text comes to us from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, I was wondering, you know, what could I possibly say this morning that you have not heard from me before? And then I remembered that I've never really preached on this subject, and I think I can do that. And so we go to a passage of scripture that is so relevant and so well known, and yet not hardly it's even preached. It has to do with John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's see if we can read it together, because I think it's going to help us strengthen our resolve. Let's see. It says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called what?
Children.
And that is what we are. Now look at the other part of this verse. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, there are moments in scripture where we're not just invited to believe, but we're invited to behold, to contemplate, to look, to ponder. There are moments in scripture, brothers and sisters, that are especially sacred, and they're separate from other moments. Because for whatever reasons, the Lord draws our attention and says, I want you to think about this, and I just want you to simply ponder. I just want you to simply not just believe, but behold. Well, those are sacred moments in our lives, and I certainly cherish moments in my life where I just leave everything on the side, and as I say, this is too much to be understood. I need to absorb this in my heart, in my spirit. And in this one single verse of scripture, it's overflowing with truth. And it speaks of something that we sometimes take for granted so fast. It speaks about God's love. But it also speaks about my identity, your identity. But it also says about the world and how the world responds to those of us who know his name. I believe we can explore three truths in this text, and that way we can go home thinking about the fact that God loves me. And like that cartoon said, hey, God loves you, but don't let it go to your head. I want it to go to your head. I want you to think of the fact that God loves you this morning. He loves you. And the way that he loves us is amazing. It is lavish love. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Again, we wonder, an invitation to wonder, to see, to perceive, that God's love is not restricted. God's love is not restricted. God's love is not sparing. It's lavished. It's too much. I'm sure most of you have felt the love of your parents or the love of someone, but often, sometimes, that love is simply restrained because, hey, we don't trust this person that much. Or sometimes it's sparing because, you know, they did it to me once, they'll do it to me again. But God's love is totally unrestrained. And it's not sparing. It just flows. It's poured out in abundance upon your life. Three things about the love of God in your life and in my life. First, it's generous. We must never forget the generosity of God. What a wonderful experience. Secondly, is relentless. He doesn't quit loving you. Oh yeah, in spite of what you did this morning. But get this, it's personal. He knows all about us. There's not a thing you can do to hide your life from him, nor should you try. But he knows all about you. But knowing all about you does not disqualify you from God's relentless love upon you. You know, it's amazing that this love of God does not necessarily save us from something, but it calls us into something. It calls us into the very family of God. You become a separate family from the world. You are the family of God. There is something so special about God's love upon your life and my life. They tell us the story of John the Apostle in the island of Patmos and how much he suffered. And when he was out of that island of Patmos where he wrote Revelations, then he goes back to Ephesus. And as he grew older, and some people say he lived to be 101, something like that anyway. But whenever you would approach him and talk to him, he was, you know, filled with age. The only thing he can say is, love one another. Love one another as God loves you. And love was the epitome of his message. Because that is the message of the scriptures, that for God so loved the world, you and me. And we have to take into consideration his lavish love towards you and me. Because sometimes the world puts us down, but the Lord will never put us down. Look, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrate his own love for us. How? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you were doing all the wrong things, he still loves you. And how does he prove that he loves you is that Christ died on the cross. Knowingly, he knows all about you. Now, knowing all about you and God still loving you does not mean that some of the things that we have done are okay or approved. But this is in spite of the issues of our life. God's love transcends us. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. Because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. There is this bond between the Lord and us through love that holds us. And then we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying this morning, at least at this moment, this sentence, is that we must let the love of God be more than just a doctrine. We need to have a daily delight that the Lord loves me. Sometimes I wake up and I feel like a toad, un sapo. I wake up and, But what if you were to wake up and say, I'm loved by God? What a change of attitude. What a day to live. That in spite of the things that I do because I do them, there is a God that transcends my deeds and loves me and shows me a better way to live. Not by punishing myself or putting me down, but knowing that he loves me. I'm a delight. I'm delighted to be alive today because he loves me. And of course, we love him back. So the first thing is that. The second thing is that we find here our true designation. We are the children of God. It says that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You know, it just does not, I mean, I don't have any categories. I can't put it all together that I'm a child of God. That I belong to, that I'm called a child of God, and that is our true identity. It's not something that I've earned, but it's a gift. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And there's no higher honor to be called a child of God. our true identity. We belong to God. We are children of God. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed, says John, in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. It's a legal term. You are legally his because you have believed in him. You belong to him. But even more, in Romans 8:15 through 16, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. It says, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Have you ever been that way? Feel down in the dumps, and then all of a sudden you begin to question the Lord, and the Lord begins to minister to your heart, and you know that you belong to him. There's a voice of witnesses to your heart that you belong to God, and you love God, the Spirit of God. In Galatians 4:6-7 says, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. I'm telling you, it should blow your mind to think that you and I are children of God, that you and I have a designation in heaven and on earth, that we belong to him. This is what we are, not something we will become, but it's something that we have and are right at this moment. So don't try to live trying to earn this identity. Some of us struggle needlessly, trying to prove to God that you are who you are. God already knows who you are. And we try to get, you know, in a merit course, you know, I fast, I pray, I do this, I must be. No, you and I do not earn this identity. We need to live from it. I am a child of God. Amen. I have a position. I have a platform under which I can live my life. The Lord is with me. And so it's amazing that my worth and your worth comes from being his. Not trying to be someone you're not. You already are a child of God. And comes with great promises and strengths and intervention from God continually. So my brothers and sisters, this morning, I want you to congratulate yourself. Because there is no higher honor than for you to be called a child of God. And it's because of God's love in you. The love of God that he put in your heart. You can identify him working in your life. You are a child of God. And your worth does not come from what I do, but from who I am. I'm a child of God. And that's an act of God, not something that I've earned, not something that I've put together. It's not an accumulation of works. It's God's love for me. I think you should be kind of happy right now. Stop trying to be something you already are. You are a child of God. But comes the second part or third part of my comments this morning, and they're brief for sure, is that because of that, you will be misunderstood in the world. And it says it this way. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. There is a rejection that comes when we're adopted into the family of God, and is a rejection of the world. And we live in two worlds simultaneously, the world as it is and the kingdom of God. And there's conflict between the two. We're to bless when others hate. We're to turn our cheek when others punch. We're to go another mile when they don't want you to go even an inch. The way of the world is different from the way of the child of God. And it does not know you. They did not know Christ. How could they possibly know you? Have you ever met someone that no matter what you do, they'll never like you? Oh, I see. It's common. Yeah. You just can't please them. I mean, you just can't. So Jesus was the perfect Son of God. What evil did he ever do? What wrong did he ever do to deserve to die on the cross? Except that he was doing that for you and for me. But I mean, I'm telling you, there was no reason for him to die except he laid down his life voluntarily. I am saying to you that the world will not understand you because they never understood Jesus. Jesus corrected the way in which people lived, and that infuriated them. He called a spade a spade. He told the truth. He spoke the truth. And you and I, as his ambassadors, because we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we as believers, we also stand for truth. We stand for what Jesus stood. And therefore, people that don't know the Lord will not necessarily welcome us. There'll be a resistance. There'll be a, what are you talking about? And you have to understand that's true, that because you belong to him, you will be misunderstood by the world. The world may never understand who you and I are, but that's okay, because our identity, who the real you, is hidden in Christ. People don't really know who they're messing around with. You and I are children of God. People don't see it. And one day when Christ comes, then our identity will be revealed, as Christ's identity will be revealed. When he comes in glory, we will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. We'll be in the presence of the Lord, and there will be an identity that will be sealed forever and ever and ever and ever. Let me just say, John 15, 18 through 19 says, the world hates you. Think of what the scripture says. The world hates you. If the world loves you, something's wrong. The world hates you. And it says, keep in mind that it hated me first, Jesus said. Think of that. Think of that. Think of that. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So it's not something that you have done or could have done better. It's the fact that Christ is in you. And they hate the Christ that is in you. And the life that you live out. That's why you're misunderstood in the home. That's why you're misunderstood in society, at your job, wherever you live. They just can't put it together. They can't put it together because you and I belong to God. And there is this anti-God spirit, well, anti-Christ spirit, that will always pursue you and try to put you down. But look, I have news for you. In Colossians 3:3, it says, you died. You're dead. And your life is hidden in Christ. And so there is a way in which we must live as dead people. We are no longer alive to the world. We're alive unto God. This different type of lifestyle. So you cannot expect the world to love you because you're dead to the world. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's where you and I belong. Those are our hunting grounds. That's where we belong. That's where we will spend eternity. And by heaven, we mean the presence of God. Our citizenship is with him. And of course, in one of the great passages of Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So when you are misunderstood at home, when you're misunderstood at work, when things don't go the way you want it to go, remember this passage. You and I need to understand that when we are misunderstood, when there's a rejection, it's evidence that you are a child of God. How many have been kicked around lately? Not too. Well, you let it happen, because it's evidence that you represent God's kingdom. And the King Jesus was persecuted and was crucified. And, you know, there are certain things in our life that Christ calls us to do and to be. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him. There are some things in our life that are going to cause us to suffer and to go through issues and problems. It's the cross we bear. It's the life that God has destined or provided for us to live. And it's not that one gets a better life or another life. We all get a cross. We all have to, I don't want to use the word, I guess I have to use it, woman up or man up. We need to own our life and own our issues and say, I will carry this because the Lord is with me. They will reject me, but that's okay, because if they reject me, it means I must be doing the right thing. It's when everybody embraces you and they think you're the most wonderful person. Jesus says, be careful with that. You have to understand that you will be misunderstood. That you will be misunderstood, and it's not a rejection of you. It's simply a rejection or evidence of the one that you reassemble. So how many of you today are happy to be children of God? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? Because you will be misunderstood. You will be kind of knocked down. You will be going through some issues in life. You will feel at times very uncomfortable. You will feel in moments that maybe even God has left you. Some of the people say you come to Christ and all your problems are resolved. I believe that when you come to Christ, all your problems begin in the right sense of the world. So you have this condition of being a child of God, but it all comes out of His love for you. So this morning, I want you to behold His love. This morning, I want you to see that He's lavished His love on you. He has given you as much love as He can possibly give, and God is love. Secondly, He is calling you to be His child. Wow, you belong to Him. And then thirdly, He sets you apart in the world for you to shine as stars, for you to be the light of the world, for you to be the salt of the earth. There is a unique position that qualifies you to live in this time in which we live. So take whatever issue you're dealing with and remember that you are a child of God. And that you did not earn this, it was given to you. And the moment you believe in the Lord, you are a child of God. I mean, can you believe it? That you're deeply loved by God? Sometimes I cannot even love myself. Well, maybe that's a good thing. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely true. I mean, deeply loved by the Lord. Sometimes I make the dumbest mistakes in life. And sometimes I do them purposely. How about that one? Sometimes you know you're not supposed to do something and you still do it. And God says, I love you. He does not love the things we do, but He loves us because we're His children. And He shows us the way out. He shows us how to live the life that needs to be lived. Huh. So it's love, deeply love. And then truly His. He's my identity. My identity is with Him. You know, I'm proud to be an American. Yeah. I'm proud to be a child of God. A child of God that supersedes everything else in this world. And I am eternally known. Because forever and ever and ever, I will live on His side of the equation. I will live in heaven for eternity as His child, designated child. So let me just conclude with verse 2. Dear friends, it says, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has yet to be made known. There is something waiting for us that is going to blow our minds. But when we know, when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. So this world is not our home, is it? This is not our standing place. This is not where we get our rewards. This is not where we get our thrills. We're just passing by. We're just walking through this valley. One day, we will be in the presence of the Lord. We've had several brothers and sisters that have gone to be with the Lord lately. And I don't necessarily say this in a jovial way, but I envy the fact that they have made it home. And the day that God calls you and me, the day that our eyes will be shut in this earth for the last time will instantly, on a nanosecond, will be in the presence of the Lord. And we will be enjoying God's presence for eternity, forever and ever and ever, because we are the children of God. We will never be let down of that. We will always have the opportunity to worship Him and to love Him and to see who we really are in Him. What a revelation that's going to be. I again, you know, Brother Sanchez is was the one who said that to me. He needed for the Lord to take him. He told the nurse, you know, if there's any way, he says, can you give me more pills so I can further up this, because he was ill. The nurse said, no, I can't give you anything. And he said, well, then I'm going to have to wait on the Lord. And he waited on the Lord. And then the Lord took him. And we wait on the Lord until he calls us home. But when he calls us home, it's a blessed place. We will be children of God throughout eternity. So maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'll say it anyway. Enjoy the world now. And all the imperfections and all the issues and all the problems, there's going to be a moment when all of this will be gone. And we will be in the presence of the Lord forevermore. So church, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And that is an absolute statement of fact. You need to live the Christian life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's it. Will you stand? Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being called your children. We thank you that though we at moments despair, yet you never take away that designation. We have been born again. We long to you. And Lord, and sometimes we go through issues in life and we wonder, but we no longer need to wonder because your word settles it. You made us your children through your love, the love. You lavished us with love, generously giving us love that we may live the life that need to be lived. So we just thank you, Lord, that we're passing by. We thank you, Lord, that this is not the final place, but that there will be a moment when we will realize what all of that means. We will see the lavish of your love, Lord, the generosity of your heart, the boundless love that you have for us, Lord. It will amaze us and we will be shining and singing throughout eternity. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and calling us your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, when you wake up in the morning, be happy. Be joyful because he loves you. And you're a child of God. This was given to you. You did not earn this. And if you're a child of God, you're heir with everything that God has. What a wonderful opportunity to live for the Lord as children of God. So people put you down, it's expected. It's expected. Because the world did not know him. So enjoy your sonship, your daughtership, for the rest of your days on this earth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord, children of God. Amen.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.